Saturday, May 24th. The first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, verses 1 through 10. Paul reached also Derbe and Lystra, where there was a disciple named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. The brothers in Lystra and Iconium spoke highly of him, and Paul wanted him to come along with him. On account of the Jews of that region, Paul had him circumcised, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from city to city, they handed on to the people for observance the decisions reached by the apostles and presbyters in Jerusalem. Day after day, the churches grew stronger in faith and increased in number. They traveled through the Phrygian and Galatian territory because they had been prevented by the Holy Spirit from preaching the message in the province of Asia. When they came to Mysia, they tried to go on into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them, so they crossed through Mysia and came down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision. A Macedonian stood before him and implored him with these words, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we sought passage to Macedonia at once, concluding that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. Haydock Commentary. Paul had him circumcised as to not obstruct the conversion of the Jews, and because it was still lawful to observe Jewish ceremonies, though the obligation of keeping the old law had ceased. St. Paul did it in order to gain the Jews and make Timothy acceptable to them. For in 1 Corinthians he says, "To the Jew I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews." If he refused to circumcise Titus in order to vindicate the Christians' independence of the Mosaic ceremonies, he now submits to the observance of them to show that there is nothing of itself bad in them, and that they might without crime be practiced, till time by degrees had abolished them. So says St. Augustine. Here, as well as in the last verse of the former chapter, we see St. Paul ordering the new converts wherever he went to receive as their rule of conduct the ordinances of the apostles and priests assembled in Jerusalem. They were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach at that time in Asia Minor, perhaps because their preaching in Macedonia was more necessary, or because St. John was to be sent into Asia Minor, or because they were not yet prepared to receive the gospel, or perhaps these provinces were reserved for St. John as Bithynia was for St. Luke. St. Leo compares this question to many others respecting the inscrutable judgments of God. Why did not the Son of God come into the world many ages before? Why did he allow so many to die in ignorance? Why are there yet so many in infidelity? Why in one family does one believe and is converted, while another remains in darkness and crime? Who shall account for the exercise he pleases to make of his rigor or his mercy, when all were justly victims of the former? In verse 10, the change in narration from the third to the first person is remarkable. It is hence inferred that St. Luke, the author of this book, joined St. Paul at Troas and became his inseparable companion. It is, however, probable that, as the narrative in the first person changes again at the end of this chapter and is not resumed till the fifth verse of the 20th chapter, that St. Luke was absent on some mission during the time that elapsed between this and their sailing from Philippi, as mentioned hereafter. The Gospel from John chapter 15, verses 18 through 21. Jesus said to his disciples, "If the world hates you, realize that it hated me first. If you belong to the world would love its own. But because you do not belong to the world, and I have chosen you out of the world hates you. Remember the word I spoke to you, no slave is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours, and they will do all these things to you on account of my name, because they do not know the one who sent me." From the Great Commentary of Cornelius a Lapide. If the world hates you, it first hated me. I have trodden before you this path of hatred and made it smooth for you, so that you, following me, may walk joyfully in the same way. For I give myself to you not only as your companion in persecutions, but your standard-bearer, your leader, and your guide. By worldly people he means first, the Jews, second, Gentiles addicted to the spirit of the world, and therefore enemies of the doctrine and spirit of Christ. Christ forewarns his apostles against the impending hatred and persecutions of the Jews and Gentiles. For the darts which are foreseen are less apt to strike. Thus they would nobly overcome, yea, despise them, and would glory in them as the tokens of Christ. It is as though he said, "Do not wonder or be troubled when the world hates you. It hated me before you. Rejoice because you are partakers with me. This hatred shall do you no harm, even as it has not hurt me. The world persecutes you because you are not of it, that is, because you do not favor its works, but oppose them, as I do. I nevertheless will love you, because you belong to me and are my elect, chosen to condemn the works of the world. Far greater shall be to you the benefit of my love than the harm of the world's hate." Great then is this consolation which the members derive from their head. St. Cyprian says, The Son of God hath suffered, that he might make us sons of God. And shall a son of man not be willing to suffer, that he may persevere in being a son of God? If we labor under the world's hate, Christ bore this hatred before us. If we endure shame in this world, or banishment, or torture, the world's maker and its master experienced yet more grievous trials. He it is who admonishes us, saying, If the world hate you, remember that it first hated me. St. Bernard says, Thou art two things to me, O Lord Jesus, a mirror of endurance and a reward of suffering. Thou art the pattern of the warrior and the glory of the victor. Thou teachest my hands to war by the example of thine own valor. Thou crownest my head after the victory by the presence of thy majesty. Christ tells them, If you loved riches, honors, pleasures, lusts, such as the world loves, it would love you as being like itself. But since it sees you loving the things which are contrary to its base desires, and teaching contempt for earthly pleasures, honors, and lusts, therefore it hates you. For agreement in character and desires is a cause of love, dissimilarity a cause of aversion and hatred. St. Augustine considers an objection which may be raised, For the wicked persecute also the wicked, unrighteous kings and judges punish also murderers and adulterers. But he responds thus, The world indeed also injures the wicked, but it still loves them in that it favors them. Worldly men love their own, that is, those who help and share in their designs. If at any time they hate other worldly persons, it is because they oppose their designs, and so are counted their adversaries. And therefore they hated Christ, because he reproved their deeds and exposed them to men. For the same cause they hated the apostles. Remember my word, for if I suffer the hatred of the Jews, yea, even the death of the cross, you ought not to be unwilling to undergo the same. For as St. Peter says, Christ hath suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his footsteps. All these things they will do because of my name, that is, on my account, because you are called and are mine. Because they know not him that sent me, that is, because they know not that God the Father hath sent me, they say that I pretend to be the Son of God, and sent by him into the world as the Messiah. For if they knew and believed this, they would not persecute me, nor dare to fight against God. This will be glorious for you, that not only for my sake, but for God the Father's sake, who sent me, you will endure persecutions.